Leviticus chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer, put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he had not commanded them. Well, the incense represented prayer. We read about that in Revelation and elsewhere, that the incense, this sweet-smelling perfume that they burnt that ascended up to heaven, this represented prayer, but they made strange fire, which he had not commanded. And I think the idea might be that this was actually part of a sort of worshipping of idols, because strange is like the word for the Gentile, like watch out for the strange woman. It means watch out for the Gentile woman. And a fire came forth from Yahweh and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh. So they offered their strange fire, mixing idolatry and God, and he sent his fire back and destroyed them. So this shows how you cannot just treat God in any way you like. Although we're very familiar as Christians with the idea that Jesus loves us and wants to save us and God is gracious, I think we've also got these teachings and themes and incidents at times in the Bible where you see the holiness of God. Even in the New Testament, you think of Ananias and Sapphira being killed for lying about some money, just zapped down dead. We must respect God, and that is part of loving him, not just treating him as someone we can pick up and put down and worship as we like. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what Yahweh spoke of, saying, I will be declared holy in those who come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified." Aaron held his peace. Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Draw near, carry your brothers from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they drew near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar his sons, "Don't let the hair of your heads go loose, neither tear your clothes, that you don't die, and that he not be angry with all the congregation. But let your brothers and the whole house of Israel bewail the burning which Yahweh has kindled." So they were not to consider that God had acted too toughly. And it upsets me when I hear people complaining that God in some sense was unfair or unreasonable. Who are we to say that? We are not to say that, because the wages of sin is death, and we deserve to die. And who are we to start saying that, oh, God's too strict? We are putting yourself on a level with God. We do not deserve to be alive. Nothing deserves to be around at all. God could just withdraw his spirit and everything would turn into dust. And that would be quite just and legitimate. And who are we to question him? But it requires a humility, which a lot of people these days don't have. They're like spoiled kids. They say, "Oh, but I've got rights. It's my right to think like that. I'm entitled to this, that, and the other." You're entitled to nothing apart from death and immediate death at that. It's what you're worthy of. And it's not, therefore, for us to ever consider that God is unreasonable when people are judged in this way. Because there but for God's grace we go. For God's grace, that is the whole problem with us. That is where we should go. So, Yahweh spoke to Aaron, saying, "Drink no wine nor strong drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, that you don't die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you are to make a distinction between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean." Well, I think the truth is that Nadab and Abihu had probably been drunk when they went in to offer the incense. And so because of that, they would not see the difference between the clean and the unclean. And so that's why they're told, don't do this again. Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons who were left. "Take the grain offering that remains of the offerings of Yahweh made by fire and eat it without yeast beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your portion and your son's portion of the offerings of Yahweh made by fire, as so I am commanded. The waved breast and the contributed thigh you shall eat in a clean place, you, your sons, your daughters with you, for they are given as your portion and your son's portion out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the children of Israel. the heaved thigh and the waved breast, they shall bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat, to wave it for a wave offering before Yahweh, and it shall be yours and your sons with you. Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it had been burnt up. He was angry with Eleazar and with Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, who were left, saying, "Why haven't you eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it's most holy? And he's given it to you to carry the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before Yahweh." So part of the ritual involved the priests eating some of the sacrifice, which was to symbolize how God had eaten, as it were, with Israel and had eaten his part of the sacrifice. They hadn't bothered doing that, and instead they'd forgotten about it or left it, as it were, not done this, and so the whole animal had just been consumed by fire, and Moses is upset that they'd apparently been negligent. But Aaron told Moses, "This day they have offered their sin offering and burnt offering before Yahweh, and such things have happened to me." That's his sons, Nadab and Abihu, had been killed. "And if I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been pleasing in the sight of Yahweh?" When Moses heard that, it was pleasing in his sight. That is, he understood. And often when we don't understand what people are doing and we think that that's wrong of them, that's sinful, when you understand, then it makes sense. But there's got to be that dialogue first.